This is Sean McCord. It is Saturday, November 7th at the 2015 Virginia Film Festival. I am talking with the filmmakers behind Reconquest of the Useless, which screens tonight, Saturday, at 8:30 p.m. at the Southern. I am talking with Harley Adams, Luke Wigren, and Sam Pressman. Sam, you're listed as, well, we'll start with you, because you're listed as the director, although he explained to me that's kind of a
something loose, of a misnomer.
Right, okay. Tell me about the film, Reconquest of the Useless, because I spoke to Gary Springer a little bit about this earlier, and he told us something about the film, and this sounds like a wild idea.
Well, it's definitely a little bit insane from the core and the root of the project, which mm-hmm. is a pilgrimage to Werner Herzog. So I think if the project had been, you know, very straight up and clean, it wouldn't have been true to the spirit of Herzog.
Right. So Werner Herzog is this amazing film director, and he did a film in 1982 called Fitzcarraldo, which is about someone who wanted to build an opera house in the jungle, and he shot this in Peru, and it really became famous about dragging this film crew.
Well, he brought them to the most remote part of the jungle,
right.
You know, 5-day boat ride away from where their like home base was, and they spent 4 or 5 years, depending on who you speak to, trying to pull a 300-ton steamship over a mountain. So, you know, the whole conceit of his project was this vision of a steamship climbing over a mountain under its own power.
Mm-hmm.
And in reality, the historical figure of Carlos Fermin Fitzgerald had disassembled the boat into many parts and carried it across a short isthmus. But to Herzog, that ecstatic image of a boat flying, in essence, mm-hmm. upwards, mm-hmm. powered this film that he would not accept anything but achieving his dream.
So 30 years ago, he makes this film about a quixotic mission to build in the jungle, which in itself becomes, the film itself becomes something of a quixotic mission, mm-hmm. and you think, perfect. we're going to go out to the jungle, mm-hmm. and we're going to find out the impact that this film had, and that there are still traces of it left.
Exactly.
Let's swing over to some of your co-conspirators here and step in. Luke, you want to tell us you're the archaeologist.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, anthropologist,
excuse
me. Cultural engineer. I don't know, but it was.
But I like archaeologists.
Archaeologists. I've been talking about it as an excavation of like
you're the, you know, Indiana Jones,
like living,
in the group.
You know, right. Breathing history.
Right.
And
he should have your hat.
Coming into the project, I had a lot of catching up to do in terms of like film language and learning about, you know, the impacts of films in history, because I think, like most people in the U.S., I know Hollywood blockbusters and zero else.
Right.
So one of the first things we watched all together was Wim Wenders' film about Yasuhiro Otsu,
mm-hmm.
And about the pilgrimage that he took to go find his Japan,
mm-hmm.
the one that he was filming. And so, in a way, what
Tokyo
we were trying
Ga.
To talk, this is Tokyo Ga. And we were trying to find Herzog's Peru, or something of that element. And I was an anthropologist studying tourism, mass tourism, and we wanted to see sort of how the travel industry has impacted that area, and also travel in a way that we thought Herzog might have as a revolutionary tourist with purpose.
And how did you get pulled into this film, Luke?
It was a college, you know, college dream.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, getting out of college, we wanted to do something, and Harley found a grant, and we decided that we wanted to pursue this mission.
Okay, let me swing over to Harley. So tell us how the three of you got together.
The three of us got together because these two other guys next to me are the only guys that are dumb enough and wild enough that I could wrestle in and feel like would go on a journey like this with me. And those are really useful friends to have in life. Ones that will take the same risks as you, and ones that will ones that you feel like you can go down a river with and will have your back no matter what. I feel like that's the most useful thing you can have.
Harley was really the linchpin and the instigator who brought us together, in truth.
So let's go from this crazy idea. How does this crazy idea become a crazy film? How does this notion turn into reality?
I think we first had the idea that there weren't enough crazy ideas, and we were going to a school at the time where there weren't enough, you know, noise bands, and there weren't enough protests.
What school was that?
We all went to Stanford.
Okay.
And,
You
know,
shake things up.
Has a great history of shaking things up, but we wanted to. I don't know. We saw a lot of our friends doing very scientific kind of grants to produce answers about things, and we wanted to do a grant and do a project that would only produce more complicated questions. And Herzog left us with a lot of questions, and these movies that we idolize leave us with a lot of questions, and we wanted to go question those films. And I think, so I studied history at school and art history and film, but for me, like, film always feels like it's outside of history. Film feels like it's about history, but yet it's ahistorical. Films don't feel like they have a real place that they were made, a place that they happened. It feels like, you know, Gone with the Wind is about history. Okay, where was Gone with the Wind made? Where's the history of the making of those films? And I think we think about the history of Fitzcarraldo, but we don't, like, what is the leftover history of that film being there? And films do leave behind things. They leave behind people that worked on them. They leave behind, sites that they were filmed in, and they leave behind memory. And I think there is a strong but minor tradition, I think, of films that explore those histories, like Tokyo Ga, like Hearts of Darkness.
Right.
You know? And we were obsessed with that sort of history.
So, Sam, was this always a film?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, what that film would be is something that we were questioning and crafting and reimagining in the editing room up until, you know, 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I think on top of what Harley was just speaking about, Fitzcarraldo has a few different tributaries, to take the river metaphor, that allowed us to kind of ride with it. The first being The Burden of Dreams, Les Blank's making of film, which just stands as one of the greatest tomes and archives of the struggle to make a film. And it's just so beautiful and poetic in its Herzogian madness. And then you've got Conquest of the Useless, which is where we derived our title from, which he published the year that we went on our trip.
Now tell us about that, because everybody may be familiar with Conquest of the Useless.
Well, yes, Conquest of the Useless is not really an actual memoir. They are sort of fever dream hallucinations.
That is a very good Herzog impersonation.
Thank you.
Not impersonation.
Channeling. You're channeling him very well.
Having those two elements gave a lot of the mythos from Herzog, but as we learn in our film, you know, there are other people that remember things differently, as, you know, anyone would. The whole Rashomon tale, that anyone, you put five people through the same experience and you'll get five different memories.
So the film we're talking about is Reconquest of the Useless, screens tonight at 8:30 in the Southern. So without giving away the film, tell us some of what you found.
Well, Herzog told us, he was an advisor on our grant, and he told us before we left, "You will find nothing. The jungle will have consumed all memory of me." And he was very serious about that.
Yeah.
Like, he thought what we were doing was, you know, completely doomed to failure.
But he went ahead and signed up on the grant.
Yeah, he supported our dream. He's that's a beautiful thing about him. He might be our biggest critic, but he still supports that we're going after something.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that ultimately that's the biggest takeaway, that you just don't give up. You keep going, and if you don't lock yourself into what has to happen, something magical can somehow appear on our road. And that's really what, we meet Cesar Vivanco, who built the camps and introduced introduced Werner to the natives that he films with, and we meet Walter Saxer, who's Werner's producer, going back to Even Dwarves Started Small.
Wait a minute, you went to Peru and you found this guy?
Yeah.
He was left behind as if there was a fourth member of our crew that's, you know, still down there, which there might be, and no one will ever know.
So when Werner Herzog said, "You'll find no traces of my film."
Right, but he forgot to tell us about the guy that's still living down there that bought the hotel that they all stayed in and has a family, you know, in Peru. So this is what I mean. Films leave behind very real things, and it's fascinating to find those traces.
Well, you know, it's funny because,
live in them.
Because we in the arts, we tend to think of, you know, we're not making paintings, we're not making artifices, we're making things that are ephemeral. Maybe you can go back and see a film, but what you're seeing is just a version of the whole experience that was made. But your point is that no, if you step out of Hollywood, that when a film crew comes to a community, what they do can have a lasting impact that can last a generation.
Definitely, definitely. And I think we found, you know, among other things, aside from these memories of Herzog, we found a different kind of Amazon that has been, you know, portrayed in film or portrayed in television and things like that. We found a very real place, and we found an Amazon that was different from the Amazon that Herzog saw.
Yeah.
And we saw an Amazon that's different from the one that you would see on National Geographic. We saw an Amazon of people that live in the jungle, and they also live in the cities, and they also have cell phones, and they also, you know, go to movies and love movies and love American cinema, and they're not easily bracketed into, like, you know, outside of modern times or inside of modern times.
And they can point to the film set down the street.
Exactly, exactly. And they'll, like, sell you DVDs of Rambo on the sidewalk. And they
Bloodsport's the most popular film in the whole jungle.
and every time they see you with a guitar, we had an underwater guitar down there.
I'm sorry, what now?
We had an underwater carbon fiber guitar that was given to us by
Henry Kaiser, who was the producer of Werner's film Encounters at the End of the World.
Who played this guitar under the Arctic ice.
The very guitar he gave to us and said, "You'll need this in the jungle."
Yeah.
And Luke is an amazing musician.
Yeah.
So he was just entertaining everybody.
So do you play this guitar underwater?
You'll have to see the film.
Have to see the film. We'll have to see the film. Reconquest of the Useless, which screens at 8:30 tonight at the Southern. Well, gosh, so have you been taking this around the festival circus? Circus.
The circus, yes. We've been riding the circus. This is the third festival we played.
Yeah.
We played in the Zurich Film Festival in Switzerland last month.
Oh, nice.
And then Woodstock, which showed a very different audience. And, you know, in Zurich, it was kind of a young, you know, arts crowd.
Yeah, yeah.
In Woodstock, it was sort of a grade hippie crowd. and here, we're just so excited to see how it plays with student audiences because, you know, the film really comes out of our experience in university and leaving that. So I'd love to see, I just can't wait to see how, you know, students react.
Well, one of the great things about the Virginia Film Festival is that we have these discussions afterwards. So, Sam, you're going to be leading discussion. Gentlemen, Harley, Luke, are you going to be part of the discussion as well?
Absolutely.
Well, be prepared because our patrons ask very smart questions. They're not like me.
Well, these three young idiots are ready for it.
we're excited. Like, more than any other place I've been, we haven't met as many people that have say, yeah, yeah, I know Herzog. I've seen all his films, and I'm excited to see your film. And our film is a really nerdy, as you've probably gotten by our discussion, it's a really nerdy film about being obsessed with film history, and it seems like everyone here is.
Yeah,
so it's intimidating and wonderful.
So, after you leave the Virginia Film Festival, where can people go to find out about the film? Do you have a website set up?
Yeah, we have a website, reconquestoftheuseless.com.
Excellent.
You can also find our Facebook page, facebook.com/ you will find nothing.
You might find nothing.
But there are some videos here and photos.
I hope that's linked from reconquestoftheuseless.com.
Exactly. And we're playing the Havana Film Festival in December.
Oh, nice. I bet you're really looking forward to that.
Yeah, and that we'll see what, you know, people that speak Spanish think of these three gringos that are out of their minds.
Come to Cuba. You can see the film tonight, half subtitled in English, and then in Cuba, you can see it half subtitled in Spanish.
Okay.
So.
been talking about is Reconquest of the Useless. One last time, screens tonight, 8:30 p.m. at the Southern. We've been talking with Sam Pressman, Harley Adams, Luke Wigman. Gentlemen, thank you so much for coming by. I hope I run into you tomorrow and you get a chance to tell me what you think of the festival and what kind of reception you got.
Excellent. Thank you for having us. We love Virginia. We love the Virginia Film Festival.
Excellent. Thank you.
We're Virginia lovers.
Thank you. Well, that's what the state is for.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.